Hey, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to The Afterlife. Enjoy the episode. This episode has been sponsored by my business, Lauren Grace Inspirations. I'm a business and life mentor, a workshop facilitator, a soul-led entrepreneur, and host of The Afterlife podcast. I'm passionate about supporting people like you through transformative courses, mentorship, and trainings so that you can live the life that you choose. I love all things time management and helping the people that I work with to master their mindset. I truly believe that life is a precious gift, and when we can learn to be at one with our thoughts, when we can learn to love ourselves, control and master our time, we really can live an extraordinary life. I have a whole bunch of free offers on my website, and I strongly encourage you to go and check them out. I'd love to keep in touch with you. You can find me over at Lauren Grace Inspirations on all the socials, as well as laurengraceinspirations.com. And I strongly encourage you to sign up for my newsletter. 2 times a month, at least, I send a positive newsletter that's all about helping you to live the best life possible. I always include a card of the day, a business or a strategy tip, and I also include a spiritual lesson. I would love to have you join me, and I'd love to join you on your journey. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hi, Lauren Grace, and welcome to the Afterlife podcast. And I'm joined today by Wenu Solsona. An Argentinian-born citizen of the world, Wenu has learned to create blue ocean companies in various industries, disrupting the status quo and eliminating competition. Nice. With a focus on excellent customer service, admirable leadership skills, and a perfectionist approach to systems and processes, she is a rare all-rounder. Wenu exudes passion for what she does, and her can-do adventurous spirit have seen her venture into a number of unique and wild life experiences. She graduated 3rd overall in her university, speaks 4 languages fluently, and is an ex-helicopter pilot and member of entrepreneurs' organizations. Her priorities today are making a positive impact in the world, elevating human consciousness, and taking care of the environment. Oracle is her most passion-driven project to date, and she is fully committed to its success. And today, Wenu and I are going to be talking all about channeling. Wenu, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I think you and I are going to get on very well because my 2 passions in life, business and spirituality, and putting the 2 of them together. It sounds to me like you have some similar passions just based on your bio.
Yes, I would say exactly. I think business has been my passion since I was a little girl. I mean, I used to sell things on the side of the road in summer, I don't know, at the age of 5, I think, onwards. And spirituality as well. And the last decade or so, I've been really involved in it. So yeah, I've been blessed enough to be able to marry the 2 and really living my purpose, I think.
Well, we'll see what we get into today, but it may be that we have to bring you back on the show and we can talk about running a spiritual business and kind of the combination of working with tech, spirituality, and evolution into AI. That might be a really interesting conversation that you and I can have. But I know today I really want to focus us all in on the subject of channeling. So you did sort of mention that spirituality is a thing that you're keen on. I'd love to know where it all began. Have you always been spiritual?
Sure. I've always had an interest in it. As a family, we were not very religious or spiritual. We just, it wasn't a thing for us. I think we went to church on Christmas because everybody used to, and that was kind of about it. Although I did grow up, I suppose, Christian Catholic, because I did get baptized and actually had my first communion, but really wasn't a thing for us. I think I always had this belief that you just needed to be a good person. I think that's what I said anyway in my teenage years. I'm just a good person, and that's my spirituality. Mm-hmm. But as with most things, sometimes our journey starts with a bit of tragedy and something hard that we have to overcome. And for me, that was in 2009 when my oldest brother passed away. And he passed away in an accident. So it was like really, really shocking for everybody. And we were very close. And so for me at the time, I mean, I was just desperate to find out if he could hear me, if he was okay, if we could communicate with each other. And I started reading a lot of books on life after death, which really led on to all kinds of other things. And I mean, this was, as I said, in 2009. So since then I have done, I don't know how many courses and read so many books and got into yoga and of course got into a lot of meditation, different kinds. And really that was just a really beautiful door that opened up for me into spirituality that I've been immersed in and I've really enjoyed. And so my life since then took on a spiritual path, I guess. And in the last, after I had children, I mean, my son's now 5 years old. So I think children really crack your heart open. So I became more and more heart-centered. And I got into channeling because in my journey of discovery into all these different spiritual practices, it just came across my desk kind of thing. And the first time I heard about it was through some friends that I kind of hold in high regard. And their words were, you know, there's this guy that channels this alien and this alien, you can speak to this alien. I said, come on, guys, that's ridiculous, basically. And they're like, no, trust us. And we were talking. I'm like, well, this is pretty like incredible, first of all. Secondly, yeah, it sounds like the information is really interesting. Like, let me check it out. Mm-hmm. And this was maybe 8 years ago now, something like that. And I have to say, you know, I had like fascination for it twofold. Like on the one hand, I thought it was like really amazing that this person could communicate with this extra dimensional being. It's the correct word is really extra dimensional being because they're not in this dimension.
I like that.
And you know, there were other people that could do the same. So I was just fascinated by the concept, first of all. But the other thing was the information that was coming through. It definitely resonated very true to me. When I heard it, for me, I'd be like, yes, okay, that seems like it's the truth. Right. And I became very, I just started to like, you know, channeled messages. A lot of people don't know that some of the stuff is channeled, like everything from Esther Hicks, you know, she channels Abraham, called Abraham Hicks. She's actually channeling when she's talking, but I mean, maybe if you see her on social media, you wouldn't know that she's channeling. But yeah, and so that's how my, I guess my first encounter with channeling, and I just kept listening to it. Didn't think much of it as I was listening to it, but you know, I suppose it was all research for yes. where I am today. Yeah.
It's interesting how sometimes those difficult times really, there's always like this little light in the darkness or in the shadow. And sometimes we don't know it until we can kind of look back. And none of us ever want to go through those difficult times, but the gifts that we can get from them after we've been able to process, you know, those situations. I mean, it seems to me like you've kind of opened up this door of opportunity and like tapped into this almost a secret hidden world that wasn't available to you before you started looking for it.
100%. And for me, I always say, you know, if my brother's death brings me something good, right? If I can get something good out of it, then his death is not in vain. And so we've all learned from it. So for me, the more I take out of it, the more I grow and learn from this bad experience, at least it left me that, right? Because if I didn't do anything with it, it would just be a shame all around. But if at least I get something really amazing out of it, then I go, okay, well, a part of me can say thank you to that experience, right? Like I still wouldn't choose it, I'll be honest with you. But I mean, at least I can say, well, thank you for that. And of course, knowing what I know now, I do believe that we come here to Earth to experience certain things. And some of these big traumatic events that we all go through, it's my belief that they are our soul contracts, you know, that we do choose them, as hard and as crazy as that sounds, but we do choose to go through them in order for us to learn and expand and grow and become like better human beings. I mean, if everything was just perfect in our lives, we wouldn't change anything, you know, there wouldn't be a need to change and grow and expand. And that's why we have to take these opportunities to do that.
Yeah, that's so well said.
chosen.
Yeah, I remember hearing, I can't remember where I heard this before, but it was talking a lot about like when we choose to come down as humans, you know, we choose our soul contracts and our birth plans and, you know, what we're going to do and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that we have to sometimes deal with these difficult times. And I remember hearing reference to, you know, how do we know we're in the light if we're in the light all the time? And it's not until, you know, we step in, we experience shade or shadow or darkness or whatever word you want to insert there, that we can start to then see the light. And, you know, it's like, as we navigate life, I think as a human and as a soul in a human body, sometimes it brings up a lot more questions. Sometimes it makes us feel reassured that there's like this bigger plan or this divine, you know, thing that's sort of happening that we don't actually have to wrap our head around the whole time. But, you know, kind of like you said, it's sort of up to us to look at situations and have an opportunity to see the lesson or the opportunity within them, which isn't always easy to do.
Yeah, no, for sure. I sometimes like to think about the analogy of a video game. So if you play a video game, and I must say I don't play any video games, but if I were to play a video game, you know, if you were that little person, you know, walking in the along the path and nothing happened and you were just sort of picking flowers as you went along, it would be pretty boring. And I mean, after a while, you'd be like, okay, this is just boring. I don't want to play it. And so one day, if you had to do a little obstacle, like overcome, I don't know, like jump over a hole or something, then it's a bit of a challenge. And you're like, okay, let's see if I can do it. Maybe I should run before. And, you know, and then you do it and you're like, oh, okay, cool. That was cool. Well, let's see if I can go with a bigger hole or a high wall. Like, let's see if I can do that. And you might fall and die. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I didn't. That was a close call. And let's try again. Let's see if I can. And it's in that, we all know that it's in that overcoming of that difficulty that we feel like, yes, you know, we did it. We learned something as well. And we now know how to do it. Next time you're like, okay, let's go to the, with a higher wall or a bigger hole. And I think that's kind of the same when we come here to Earth, you know, we choose certain experiences because we want to be pushed to certain limits so that we can overcome it and feel like really good about it. And we know that it's a video game. We know that it's a very temporary experience, that who we really are is just fine. We're not the little man playing the game. We're the guy behind, you know, and we're always okay. We're kind of having a good time. Sometimes when you really get into the video game, you don't even know that you're sitting there, or like a movie, you don't even know. And, you know, you come out of it and you're like, oh, wow, okay, actually I'm here. So I do think it's kind of like that. And so as hard as these experiences are, they're very temporary, and the core of who we are is really just fine.
Yes, that's totally true. And yet we make things a bigger issue. And, you know, it's our human mind that comes in, which is completely different from when someone's channeling. They have like this opportunity to be able to channel information that's separate from the human mind. Before we get into how channeling works, I kind of want to go back to your first experiences. So you said that you'd been introduced to somebody who was channeling. I'd love to know whether or not that was in person or that was somebody that you were listening to on online, for example. And you did mention something that was really important there. You talked about, not only did you find it interesting, but you found that there was something within it that made you feel like it was truthful. So I'd love to know how that sat with you. Did you get this sort of butterfly feeling in your stomach? Did your heart beat faster? Did you just know intuitively this is the truth? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah. So the person that they had said was channeling was Daryl Anka, and he was channeling Bashar. He's a very famous channeler, probably one of the biggest today. And so Bashar is an extra dimensional being that is one of the is part of a race that's making first contact with people, and it's happening telepathically and through dreams to many people. But he's a specific extra-dimensional being that's just above Earth, actually. So that was just in itself, it's pretty fascinating if it's the first time you hear something like this. And I know that, you know, the first time I heard it again, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
No.
This is bullshit.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, no. But, you know, you got to be open-minded. And I did, like I said, I checked it out. And yeah, so how you know, when the guy's talking and he's talking about these truths, let's say universal truths about who we are, about what this life is, about how it works, why we're here, why do we go through these struggles and so on. When you hear it, or at least when I hear it, it's almost like a knowing, like you already knew it. And that somebody says it and you're like, oh, but I knew it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just something inside of you that goes, yes. Or let's say you hear 5 different theories and you go, okay, this one could be, you know, I suppose there's a point in there, you know, you hear stuff like that. And with the things that I hear from Bashar, it's like, yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. And I think it's because we all know a lot more than our physical selves knows. Like our soul, our higher self, yes, really knows the truth of everything, and we know our own truth. And so when somebody tells you something that you know in your core to be true, then it, of course it's going to resonate and you go, ah, yes. And you maybe don't know how you know it or where you know it from, but it's just, yes, like, you know, your inner essence that just knows. So And I think that everybody should decipher that. Everybody should discern for themselves what they feel is true. Yeah. Sometimes, look, I do have a lot of religious people, nothing wrong with religion. And I think actually we're talking about this. Sometimes I hear things and I'm like, it's the same thing. It's just, yeah, you know, labeled different. But sometimes I hear some religious friends of mine, they say, you know, we believe. And I go, okay. I said, but what do you believe? Like, yes, does it resonate to you? When you say we believe, do you have to convince yourself that it's this way?
Right.
Like, I don't have to convince myself. I just know, and I stand in my own truth. And sometimes that takes a little bit of like sitting with this information and just, you know, hearing yourself. Like, take a moment, you know, pause, and does it feel true? And maybe it doesn't, and maybe it does. So that's your truth. You know, we have like almost 8 billion truths.
Yeah. And I think that what's really interesting is that as we navigate through life, you know, even me doing this podcast, sometimes I am so clear on what I believe. And then all of a sudden I'll learn something new and I'll go, oh, and it kind of like almost busts up that neural net. And I've created a new one where I have like a new truth or a new idea. Yeah. One of the things that I see in the people that I know and clients that I work with is that sometimes we have that claircognizance, which is that inner knowing, and we feel in a way that we almost have to justify it. And I think that's where sometimes people can get caught up, where they go, I know this to be true, but I don't know why. So I feel like I need to, in a way, explain it. That's when our human mind kind of comes in and can get in the way. And a big part about what you're talking about here is about your ability to get to know yourself so that you can trust your first impressions, your intuition, and the information that comes through to you without necessarily having to justify or explain it to other people.
Yes, I think that's definitely true. I think there's two, yeah, ways to know something, with the head or with the heart. And sometimes they match, and that's great. And then we absolutely know, you know, and we've got the proof, the science, the head, the rational saying, yes, okay, this is true, wonderful. You just know that it's true too, no problem. But sometimes it doesn't match. Usually your heart's telling you, yes, this is true, but your head is going, well, you know, I really need proof. Do other people think that it's also true? If everybody thinks it's not true, it's probably not true. And so your head has a million ways of convincing you that it's not true. And because in society, we're so focused on the head and on science and on proof and everything. If you're, yeah, very led or, you know, influenced by society, it might be a little bit harder. So it's those people that can really put the mind aside, let it rest, and have practice in tuning into their heart, and they start trusting themselves more and more and more. Because also when you start trusting yourself and that intuition, and which really comes from our heart, and you start actually acting upon it, you will prove to yourself that, hey, that was a good thing that I did. And it's practice, right? So let's say, yes, you have a feeling that you should do that. You really do. But, you know, your head's telling you, you know, probably shouldn't because blah, 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 blah. But you go ahead and you do it anyway. And it turns out to be really good. And you're like, yes, I knew it. Okay. And then next time you also get a bit more courageous. You're like, okay, let me try it. You know, let me just trust my heart again. And as you get into that practice of doing that over and over, you just prove to yourself after time that, hey, you know, it's worked out every time. I'm just going to trust it, and I'm just going to not listen to my mind and not listen to society so much anymore. And yeah, and you'll also start finding proof that, you know, that thing that you're feeling in your heart is true. There is also some other scientific evidence. You know, you start listening to these kind of podcasts and you start, you know, there's a lot of spiritual stuff out there in the world that's being proven, that there's science to all these things, including channeling, by the way. So yeah, and then it starts aligning again, right? At least that's how it's worked out for me.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's almost like once you're ready to receive, then you will start to get that validation. And it'll be, like you said, an introduction to a podcast or an introduction to a book, or you'll see something on the street that kind of like a sign that's like encouraging you, go for it, or something like that, or only green lights you keep hitting while you're driving. And it can show up in a variety of ways. One of the things that you talked about earlier, you sort of alluded to the fact that we've got like this head voice. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that in terms of how does it work for channeling? So how does channeling work exactly? Because I know from my experience with it that the head voice has to take a back seat when we are channeling. Can you tell me about your experience?
Yes, very much, very much.
Yeah.
So, you know, channeling is also a very wide word, because the channeling we're talking about is when you're channeling higher consciousness, when the information that's coming through is not necessarily coming from you, not even from your higher self, but from other beings or other higher consciousness. But of course, there's all kinds of channeling. So when people are in the flow, when people are maybe painting something and they're like completely forget about them, they're not thinking at all, and they're just like just letting the hand move, so to speak, and they're doing this beautiful painting, that's also a type of channeling. And a lot of people do other channelings, like even Mozart, I believe that he channeled a lot of his music. He would just literally sit down in front of the piano, and I think he would just start playing. And that's, again, he wasn't thinking. He wasn't going, you know, what should go after this? No, he was not thinking at all. In fact, that's how he could compose his music, because, you know, he was just letting it flow through him. So there's many types of channeling. But what we're talking about here is voice channeling from somewhere else that's not you. And how we do that, we absolutely have to take our mind out of the way, because otherwise it's just us talking, right?
Yeah.
And so that is kind of the practice. And it starts with meditation. That's why meditation is such a great basis for pretty much anything that's kind of spiritual.
Yeah.
But as we're able to let our mind rest for a little bit, I always have a visual of me like literally picking up my brain, going like this, putting it next to me and going, you know, thank you, I love you, but right now, please just like stay here and, you know, don't bother me.
I love that.
And then it's really opening up our heart and tapping into the vibration of the heart. And what channelers are able to do is they're able to really raise their vibration through meditation, but also there's many other practices that you can very practically do, with like nutrition and just spending time in nature and practice. And then they're able to raise their vibration to lock in with that vibration of another being or another consciousness. And the thing is that there's so much, and this is something I didn't know when I got into channeling, it's just, there are so many spiritual beings right here, right now, like ready for us to talk to them. And if you think about all the animals and all the plants that we have on Earth, I mean, there's just, I mean, we don't even know how many there are, right? It's kind of like the same in the spiritual world. There's all kinds, you know, there's the ascended masters, there's the angelic beings, there's the elemental beings, there are extra dimensional beings, this consciousness fields. It's crazy what's out there. And just because we can't see it, obviously doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, I think we only see from the light spectrum. I could be totally wrong, but like it's a small percentage. Same as with hearing, you know, we hear a very small percentage of all the sounds, and these can be measured. And, you know, this is all science, you know, science can tell you that it's all these different colors and all these different sounds, and we just can't see them because we can only see and feel and hear what we can perceive with our five senses, right? But it's so limited. It's like teeny weeny. So we all of us can actually perceive a lot more. It's whether we pay attention to it or not. And like everything, it's practice. And so when we learn how to tune into all these other things that exist, we can really just communicate with them. And it's telepathic communication. The best channelers are those that can totally put their mind aside, and they don't even remember what they channel very often. So yeah. When you are with a channeler, the channeler might be connecting to an angelic being. A lot of the archangels are channel, let's say Archangel Michael. And you as a client can have a direct conversation with Archangel Michael, literally, and ask him. They go by they, because it's, again, it's also very difficult for us to grasp this concept. You know, it's not like a little being somewhere, but we can have these conversations. And this is information that really is a lot more expansive than what we are. I always say it's like, kind of like taking a step back from where you are in your life and just zooming out and being able to see the whole picture. And you can see not just that person's picture, but humanity's pictures, past and present, past lives, future lives, and really the purpose of it all. So it's really wonderful, because as human beings, we're so stuck in our little problems and our little day-to-day thing. But zoom, if you just zoom out, yeah, we have a much better understanding of what's going on, why it's going on, and it gives us a lot of peace and empowerment. And yeah, I just love it.
I love it too. And even when you're talking, I feel really emotional. I feel like emotional, and I feel like I want to jump around, like excitement as well. It's a whole range of emotions while you're describing it. I know that, you know, on our show before, and just for our listener at home, we do have a few episodes where we've been discussing the 3D, 4D, 5D. So the 5D is this whole idea that we're really like all one. And one of the things that I experienced a little while ago was that I went out on my deck, and it was a beautiful starry night. And I remember I looked up and I felt that connection to everything for a moment. It was like, I am one with all that there is. And I felt it in a way that I can't explain it. And it wasn't lasting, you know, it lasted for a period of time. And sometimes I can tap back into that, but it's this kind of knowingness that we're really all in it together and everything's okay. And it like goes back to what you were talking about at the sort of the beginning of our conversation, which is a lot around the concept of how, you know, as humans, we sometimes want to make things a problem, or we want to categorize things, or we want to put labels on stuff. And I feel like there's this sort of tendency that we have as humans, and maybe a part of it is the ego and being afraid, but of like keeping us small and keeping us contained and not understanding and stepping into our power. And I know we could go into big tangents about how, you know, the powers that be, like that's part of the plan maybe, is to keep us down in this smallness. But, you know, what you're talking about is like an accessibility and an opportunity to be able to tap into the wisdom of all that there is, and in an objective and loving and compassionate, understanding way. How do you feel when these channeled messages come through? I know we talked about the feeling of truth, but I think it's important to ascertain sometimes about how high frequency messages should feel good, right? They should feel empowering. What's your experience with that, or anything else that you want to comment on, of course, of what I've just said?
Yeah, I love everything you said. There was a whole bunch of comments that came to mind, but just on that last question about discernment. So I'm not a channeler, by the way, although I do channel some information for myself, and obviously I'm very involved in channeling, so I know these techniques as well. But I interview a lot of channelers a lot, so I have a lot of channeling sessions. I'm very lucky. I get all these coaching sessions about me all the time. And yes, I have gotten very good at discerning, because it's not that, well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are just complete phonies out there. I haven't really had sessions with those, because they don't even come into my radar. We just, you know, don't really interview them to begin with. There's a lot of discernment that happens. And one of the ways in which you can tell if somebody's really channeling is that, yes, we're channeling higher consciousness. So it is, you know, if we're here, it's closer to the truth, closer to love or pure love, closer to God, whatever you want to call it. And so it will always be positive. If it's got any kind of fear attached to it, or if they're making you feel bad about anything, it's just not likely to be true. And the other thing is that they will never have any, they will never, how do I say it? Put like an idea in your head and tell you that this is true. They will always give you a suggestion or like show you something, but in a way that feels very much like, hey, does this resonate with you? Not like this is like this, this is like that. And it's like a language thing, right? Yes. And then it will be very empowering. It will always be empowering. It will always put the power back on you. It won't make you the victim. And so I'm afraid if you want to be a victim and you want to be, you know, blame the world, then, you know, you might stay stuck in whatever issue you're in. It is always you. But it will be done in a very loving way, in a very compassionate way, in a way that you will really understand why this is happening and what you can do with it. It won't have biases. And so sometimes when I have these sessions, I will notice a little bit of the person in this co-creation of this channeling, because that's what I need to figure out, you know, is how clean and pure is this channeling. But this, because there's always a little bit of the person. In fact, there's always parts of the person in the channeling, because the channeler can only express him or herself with the vocabulary that they have,
yes,
and with the past experiences that they have. So if I'm channeling somebody, I might use an analogy from my past. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I might say, well, if you had a business, you would do it this way. And somebody who's, you know, I don't know, a surfer would talk about a big wave, and I'm also a surfer, but I mean, if you've never been in a wave, you know, you wouldn't use that analogy, right?
Exactly.
So that's why there's always a bit of the person, but you can just tell. And I guess again, with everything, with practice, you just become good at it. You know, there was a bit of a bias there, and you know, they may be saying it this way because, you know, part of the personality. So that's up to me to go, okay, no, this was such a clean channel that, you know, they're good enough for Oracle, or, you know, they need a little bit of more training. And often I say to them, you know, I just think you need a little bit more practice. And that could also be because the person's going through a lot. When you're going through a lot in your life, and say you've got this problem that you just keep thinking about all the time, it's very difficult to put your mind aside and be like super clear and clean. So that could be one of the obstacles, not always. And so again, it's back to practice. And certainly not everyone that I interview gets onto the Oracle platform, but there's some of them that I've said to them, listen, come back to me in a year. Let's see how you've been doing. So
I think it's also comes down to that individual understanding that maybe they're not ready right now. Like you said, if they've got something going on, because we are still humans navigating, you know, here on Earth, we are still dealing with issues. And even though we know, like on a higher frequency, on a higher level, that it's all good, it doesn't always feel like that. And sometimes these things are happening that really can be overwhelming. So I would say that a big part of that as well is the channeler or the reader having that ability to be able to discern for themselves, is it the right time for me to do this? Do I maybe need to take a little bit of time off to do some healing or?
Yeah. Yes. To be a good channeler, you really do have to have, you really need to be okay in your life for the most part. And that's, you know, their job is to, you know, you also got to walk the path, right? If you are teaching all of these things, you got to implement them into your own life. And for me, that's been such a journey of self-discovery, this whole thing, because as I do this business, things work out well the more I align myself, you know, and my job is really to remain heart-centered, to remain true to myself, and then things unfold. And I think that's kind of for everybody. It's the same thing. If whatever it is that you're wanting to achieve in your life, you go to first start with you, make sure that you clean up the things that you have been, you know, impeding you from getting somewhere, these blocks, you know, the past. And sometimes it takes going to a channeling session or to whatever, you know, we can't always do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's why these people are here, to help us. And then eventually we can really, we don't need, the idea is not to need somebody to help us do this, but just to be able to do it ourselves. But yeah, we just need a little bit of help along the way. So
I love that you said that, because I know that there are quite a few people out there in the world that are like continuously seeking that validation or that support from readers, psychics, you know, channelers, mediums, whatever. And I think that what you just said is super important, and it's something that I value as well, which is a lot about taking responsibility for your own life and understanding that we have to do things on our own sometimes. And other times we can maybe go and we can seek these services, and maybe there'll be a nugget of wisdom or a little bit of guidance or something that comes out of that, that kind of allows us to then work through and go through the next steps. But I do think that, you know, taking responsibility is a really big part about what we have to do here on earth. And it goes back to what you were talking about when you were saying that, you know, when channeled information is coming through, it's not, hey, Lauren, go and do da, da, da. It's more presented in an option where it's reminding me of my free will, right?
Yes. For me, again, the goal, you know, with Oracle, we provide, you know, channeling sessions is not to get you to come back 10, 20 times. And, you know, it'd be nice, of course, you know, I guess we make more money, but really we are trying to empower people. We are trying to really teach them who they are and how they can use this information to create what they want in their lives. But yeah, we don't actually want you to come back. We're teaching people also how to channel. We're coming up with courses. We're working on them as we speak, but later in the year. And we want to teach people to channel themselves, to channel first and foremost their higher self, their soul's voice, to hear that and to find out what their purpose is and to start living that purpose. And we then teach them also how to channel other beings. And even for channelers, we're doing like enhanced channeling programs too, so that they can get better at it. But yeah, the whole point is really to empower. If you speak to any channeler and they say, and you ask them, you know, why do you do what you do? Or what is one of your goals? They will, like, 9 times out of 10 say, I really want to empower people to step into their power, to take responsibility, to realize that they are the creators of their own reality, that they're not victims to everything, that they create absolutely everything. And I know that's hard for some people to hear, because you wouldn't logically think that you've created this maybe disease or this like traumatic event that's, you know, caused you so much suffering. But it is that way. And at least, you know, from my perspective.
Yeah, mine too. And my perspective too.
Yeah. And when you take responsibility, it's actually amazing, because it gives you that power, that freedom. They go, okay, well, because I can choose something else too. And I'm truly not a victim to all of these things that happen around us. That's why for me, you know, I now surround myself with non-victims. It's very hard to be somebody who really likes to stick to their story. And, you know, that's fine. But if you really want to improve your life, you got to be, you know, got to wear the big girl panties and go, okay, you know, let me just, you know, what if I own this one, you know, and then you become empowered just by deciding that, because you're now responsible for everything, the good and the bad.
Yeah. I love that you said that. And, you know, I've got this program called Master Your Mindset 21 Day Challenge to a More Confident You. And one of the exercises I get people to go through is to really start to look at the influences in their life, from the people they spend time with to the things that they're listening to and reading, et cetera. And, you know, when you're talking there, I kind of heard in my head that, you know, you're hanging with the high achievers. And, you know, business people will always say that you want to be hanging out with those people that are at a higher level than you, that are making more money, that like really help you to raise to that sort of level. And I know I was talking about just the other day, because I just started playing pickleball. And, you know, the way where I play pickleball, we like rotate and play different games. And I notice a real difference in my performance when I'm playing people who are learning how to play pickleball versus people who've been playing for a really long time. It's really an interesting example of like how your skills automatically sort of get elevated. And I think that what you're talking about there is you're saying, you know, I know that I'm taking responsibility for the life that I want to live. And so I want to hang out with like-minded people, because like-minded people also help you to raise and become a better version of yourself. And I think that we really do need to take an inventory and stock of our environment, our surroundings, the people we spend time with, the things we're listening to, where we're spending our energy.
Yes. I mean, we all know the saying that you become the five people that you hang around
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Yep. In every book. And, you know, if I look at my life, although I've always had a pretty cool life in general terms, but for me, the last few years, I've been on such a progression of my awareness, my understanding of what this is. And I've seen my friends change, and nothing wrong with my old friends, I guess, but I'm just at a different level. And I think it's not only that you seek them out, they just start coming to you.
Yeah.
You just, you know, as you're raising your vibration, it'll just happen that those certain people will fade away, and then some other people will appear, and you realize, oh, wow, these are like super cool people. Like actually 2 years ago now, I went to Antarctica with a group of 150 entrepreneurs, artists, and I got invited by a friend of mine. And these were just incredible human beings. I realized it's almost like another world, very, very high achievers, very successful, famous people, like pretty famous, especially musicians and things like that. And I tell you, we were there for 12 days, and I did not once hear anyone, it was amazing, complain about anything. No one complained. No one mentioned the word COVID, even though it was, okay, it was after COVID still, but it was 2 years ago. And, you know, people were still talking about COVID. No, the word COVID was not mentioned once. It was actually quite amazing. I felt like I was in another planet. No one was playing the victim, and everyone was very empowered. And you know what I loved about this group is that because there were a lot of artists, they were so uniquely themselves. They had figured out who they were, and they were unashamedly and unapologetically themselves, and so different and unique. And because they were so unique and so aligned and so themselves, they were very successful because they were now just doing what they loved to do. And of course they were good at it. And it was like, I realized, okay, I've now moved a step up, right? And it
taught me you attracted that. So
yes,
you have to be on that.
Yeah.
And
now
too.
I'm like,
yeah.
And now I'm hanging out with more of these people, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I suppose, you know, we all kind of help each other, but you got to be conscious of it. And sometimes it's hard, you know, do I let go of this friendship? You know, family, it's a little bit harder, but like with friendship, sure, you know, and there's nothing wrong. And if you feel like somebody's bringing you down, you know, thank them for the lessons that they've taught you, and maybe like shift and look out for those people. You know, they're everywhere, they're all around us. We have to become them as well, to, you know, maybe it's like, again, going back to you, if you want to attract those kind of people, you know, who would they want to be with? And so be that person, and then climb up.
Yeah. And nothing changes if we don't take different steps, try new things, you know, like we will stay the same. So that's another thing that's really important to remember. Like, you can stay there if you want, but a lot of us, and definitely people listening to this podcast, they know they're here for something more.
Yeah. And you know, the cool thing is that it doesn't take you being somebody else. It's the opposite.
No.
You don't have to now be this cool person or this like anything. It takes you having the guts to be you. To be really you. And to, and what does that mean? Now somebody said to me, well, but what does it mean to be me? Well, you shouldn't pretend. It shouldn't be hard, first of all. You shouldn't have to pretend or think, oh, what are they thinking? Because then you're making yourself liked by that person. It's what do you like? What do you enjoy? What feels good to you? What feels natural to you? And so it's actually being easier and more natural and just being yourself. Like, am I worried about, do I make a fool out of myself? Yeah, like a little bit, but it's like, say your truth. You know, I'm not saying things because I'm thinking, oh, okay, like, what do people want to hear? no, it's like, it's my truth. It's really how I feel about it. And that's just being you, right? And that will attract people that also sit in their truth. And so it's actually not, it's not difficult. It just takes a bit of courage to, I say courage because we often think that we should be this and we should be that because that's what our society wants us to, and that's what's going to get us accepted. But actually, the more you are, just the better it gets. And you'll attract people that are also true to themselves, and you'll see what a cool thing that is when you're just not pretending anymore.
I think it also just gives you creative license to just show up in the world authentically. And that is where the miracles come in. Because I know when if I second guess something that I've said, you know, sometimes I have challenges with that, you know, where I'm a strong personality, or sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel like I wasn't received in the way that I intended. And part of my brain wants to really beat myself up. And I think a big part about my journey is a lot about me accepting myself for who I am, because I know I'm a good person. And I think that we can get caught up sometimes in maybe feeling like we need to be perfect, or we need to operate on a certain level. And also, I think there's a big part about when we start to accept ourselves, it's also giving ourselves compassion and grace for who we are in the moment too. And like giving ourselves permission to maybe not be perfect. But on the same token, I'm hearing in my mind, we have to be careful too of making assumptions and thinking that we were received a certain way. And it's almost just like trying to ignore all of that and just being with ourselves, and just, I don't want to say staying in our lane, but just kind of like doing what feels right to us.
Yeah, everything you said is so true. You know, we have this real problem with perfection. And I mean, I also have the problem. We feel like we need to be perfect all the time. I mean, who is perfect all the time, right? Yeah, and sometimes when people admit those parts of themselves that are not perfect, then we like them more. We're like, yeah, okay, because they also give us permission to not be perfect. When you're not perfect, the other person knows that, okay, well, I can also be not perfect. So it's a permission slip. And yeah. And compassion, as you said, you know, yeah, sometimes we do make mistakes. Sometimes we do say the wrong thing. And it's like, well, you know, like being compassionate, would you be compassionate with somebody else? Yeah. Just be compassionate with you. And you're not going to be perfect all the time. It's just impossible. It's part of being a human being. And yes. So, yeah, I love everything you said, really.
Yeah, but I agree with you too. Like, I know when I listen to Gabby Bernstein's work, and she shares stories of things where she's, you know, maybe not made the right decision, but the lesson she's learned, it does make her feel more relatable to me. And I go, oh, wow, like, you're not on this plane of like perfection. You're real, like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yeah. So we want to talk now, I do, and I'm sure our teams, our guides, our angels all around us want to talk about Oracle. So before we get into Oracle, I do want to ask you, so I know it's a channeling platform. I'm dying to know, how do you kind of explain channeling being different from mediumship or psychic readings? Because in my impression, it's quite different.
It is. And people do get it confused, and understandably so. So everyone's a kind of a psychic. If you've got a sixth sense, you can say you're psychic. But when we talk about psychics in particular, these people use the five clairs, you know, claircognizance, clairaudience. So they can either see, hear, or just know. Some people can even taste something, and they just have that sixth sense, and so they'll be able to tune into your energy and tell you what they see or feel or hear, and then they'll have other visions of something that could potentially happen in the future, or they'll use cards or, you know, some method to tell you. It's quite focused on the future, and people do tend to go because they have an issue and they'd like to know perhaps what they should do with that. That's the most common reason people go to psychics, and there's definitely a place for that. But mediums and channelers are quite different. Mediums in particular actually communicate with deceased people, and so if you've had somebody pass away that you'd like to communicate with, well, they can tune into that energy, and they will usually tell you, I see them, I hear them, I feel them. and they're here and they're telling me to tell you this, or they're showing me this. And so that's mediumship. And channeling is like mediumship, because they're tapping into the spirit of something else, but not with deceased people. Although a lot of channels can do it with deceased people, but not all. But they tap into other spirits. As I mentioned earlier, there is angelic beings. So there's angels, archangels, your spirit guides. There's the elementals. Believe it or not, I know this sounds crazy, but all the fantasy world that is on TV. I mean, there's a reason there's like fairies from all the cultures and gnomes and all of these beings.
I love it.
They exist in a certain, you know, frequency and dimension. They can tap into them, but also the natural elements, the trees, the animals, our earth itself, all the ascended masters. As I said, the list goes on and on and on, and all these spiritual beings. And so these are energies that exist that channelers tap into, and they have these speak through them. So if a channeler is connecting to this an extra dimensional being or a collective of extra dimensional beings, which is quite common, they will have these speak through them. And there's also, not to confuse people too much, but there's also three types of voice channelers, let's call them. You get the trance voice channeler, the conscious, and the semi-trance. So the trance channeler, they are really able to put their personality aside completely, and they have the being speak through them. So the being will use their vocal cords, and you will have the direct conversation. So you can say, who are you? And they'll say, well, we are so-and-so, we live here, or this is us. And so it's fascinating. And the conscious channeler would be the same, but they're just seeing, and they're saying, they're telling me to tell you this. They're saying this. So they're just passing the information. Me as Wenu, I might be like hearing and telling you, right? But it comes from these higher dimension, well, higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then the trance will just go in and out. You know, they'll speak in the first person and they'll speak in the third person. So that's the difference between the three.
That's so cool. And so why is it that you decided to create a business around channeling? Do you think it's a more like a stronger medium? Do you think there's more opportunity there? Did you see that blue ocean opportunity and you didn't want to swim with the sharks in the red ocean?
Glad you know the thing about the blue ocean. Yes. Well, I mean, the reason I decided to go for it is it just came to me, and I was sitting in meditation one day, and this is about 4 years ago, and the whole idea, it was just a download, the name, the logo, the whole idea. So I was like, ooh, I was like typing it. I was like, this is an amazing idea.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought it was so great after I had that download is that just the information that comes through is very valuable to us. Because again, if you think about ourselves, and as human beings, we are having this physical existence, and we're very zoned into this little life that we've got here, and we can't see, you know, past that. And so we get very stuck, and we worry, and we just can't see why this is happening, you know. And they are able to have this wider vantage point, so they're able to see the bigger picture. So they're able to say, hey, you know, this is what happened in the past. For example, with past lives, this is what you're carrying through into this life, and you need to let go of that block. So it's amazing when you go into past lives and you can see what's happened there, and what you've carried through to this life. And just knowing that and doing some exercises to release that can, you know, like unblock a whole bunch of stuff in this life. And nobody can really do that except for channelers and maybe other people. So you can't go to the psychologist to get the stuff done, right?
Yeah.
But they'll also be able to see your whole life's purpose, like why you came here, what your purpose is. And a lot of people get to that point in their lives, especially middle-aged women, where they've done a lot of things, you know, they've had the kids, they've done the career, done the traveling, the marriage, maybe they've done the divorce, and they just get to, you know, middle age, and they're like, so like, now what? You know, I've done these things that I was supposed to do, and somehow I'm still not really fully happy, or I'm missing something, or I'm unfulfilled, or I'm just like, is this it? You know, and they get to ask that question. And so with the channeling session, yeah, they're able to say, hey, you know, this is why I came here. Oh, okay. And then they're like, they have this renewed energy and zest because now they know what their purpose is and they can do the rest of their lives like much more purpose driven, which is changes everything, quite frankly. And not just that, we can really see our entire, you know, our Akashic records, our, you know, our history, our ancestral lineage, because also we carry stuff from our parents and their parents and the parents, and we can see that maybe this is this destructive pattern that comes from so far
doesn't
away
belong that, to us that you know, we're stuck with.
yes. Yeah. And yeah, so that information I haven't come across any other way. And so this is almost like magic. And yeah, it's just, it really is incredible. So, I mean, you kind of have to try a session in order to understand it. And when you do try a session, think about the questions that are going to be the most beneficial, be very heart-centered. But also if you don't even have questions, just trust that your higher self who's there present in this channeling session is going to bring through the information that you need. Because remember, we have this physical experience, we have our higher self, which again has the wider vantage point. There's the channeler, there's the being that they connect with, and that being and your higher self are connected. And that's how they can know all of these things about you. And so the information that you need to hear the most will come through. And sometimes it's mind blowing. And sometimes you don't even have to ask the question. The information will come forth and you're like, oh, that's exactly kind of what I needed to hear. Yeah. And that's why I do it. Yeah.
Well, I love it. And I've got to say that, you know, listening to the fact that you vet people really makes me feel comfortable, you know, with looking at the different channelers on Oracle, because I think that one of the things we get sort of confused about sometimes is like, who's the real deal? Who's going to be able to give me a clear answer, a clear channel versus someone who's going to keep bringing in that personality. On Oracle, do you have an opportunity for people to go, I want to connect with the elementals, I want to connect with the earth spirits, I want to connect with Archangel Michael? Like, do you have channels who specifically specialize working with these different entities, or can a channel essentially channel from anyone or anything?
So we are adding more channelers all the time, and we don't yet have a filtering system, but that's coming very soon. So you'll be able to say, okay, elemental beings, who does that? You know, angelic beings, who does that? So it's almost there. But for now, you can have a look at everybody that's on the platform, and there's a little description that says what or who they channel. There's a little video, and then you can read up about them. And so yes, some, to answer your other question, is some channelers only channel one energy, and that's who they connect with, let's say Archangel Uriel, whoever, and that's who they always channel. But, and I would say it's more or less 50%, and 50% or maybe a little bit less can channel various, a lot, and some pretty much like anything. More often than not, the right person will come through. So more often than not, even if they channel all these different beings, somebody will come through, and you don't really have a choice in that. It'll be just the best person for you. Other times you could choose, and you could say, look, I really want to connect with, you know, this archangel or this ascended masters. You know, there's people that channel Jesus. And again, I know that it's hard for people to go, oh, how's that possible? But everybody's got a unique frequency. Me, you, Jesus, and also there's collective frequencies. You can channel the humanity or Gaia. And it's about knowing how to tap into that frequency, right? I think channelers, when they start channeling, they can't really choose who comes through. They will just, so-and-so will come through. It's not like, for example, if I wanted to channel Jesus, I think I could, I don't know, but it's usually like trusting, and then usually somebody will come through.
Also about not directing, like sometimes the channeler may not know on a human level what is the best thing for you. A big part about what I'm hearing that you're saying from channeling is essentially like, if we imagine you have a body and then you kind of open up your crown, you open up the top of your head, and your top of your head is now completely empty. And then source energy just channels all this light through it. And then it comes out the person's mouth in form of speech.
Yes.
That's basically what it's sort of like, right? Whereas if you go in and you're like, I'm going to cherry pick who I'm going to hear from. Now, being said, I'm sure it'd be a very interesting conversation, which we don't have time for today, where when people can take some of these courses where they learn to channel, they may be able to channel, say, Mozart when they're at their piano practicing, or a mathematician where they're in a math class.
Yes.
They're trying to take a test, for example.
Yeah. We often say that, right? I'm going to channel, you know, when you're doing something like, or you're playing tennis, you know, let me channel Djokovic and, you know, play and use the language, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes when I'm working, I'm thinking about entrepreneurs who have passed. I'm like, come on in, you know, like, give me some support or some eureka ideas. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and it's actually good to do that.
Yeah.
It's good to do that because think about it, even if you think it's BS, you're putting yourself in the mindset of that person. You at least you're invoking them. You're like, okay, if I want to be, you know, Richard Branson, you're really elevating yourself because that thought's coming into your head and you're like, well, what would he do? You know, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I think what it does is just giving us an opportunity to tap in to different skills that we didn't maybe realize we have access to and that we can develop and learn and grow and become those empowered versions of ourselves. And what's so cool about that is what we were talking about earlier, which is like when we raise our energy, when we are the light and the change we want to see in the world, right? We allow other people to do that for themselves too, because we are, you know, admitting that glow with everyone that we meet.
Yes. Yes. That is really kind of our purpose too, you know, is really to shine our lights and to do what we love, to really enjoy every single day. And then we have to be the example for other people. We've got to, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. It's so true. Yes. And that's how we create change. It's just by example, by shining our light, by allowing other people to do the same themselves, by being our unique selves and allowing other people to be their unique selves, not like us.
Yes, so, exactly. So beautiful. Yeah. Wenu, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to bring up? I'll put a link to Oracle, and for our listener at home, that's O-R-Y-K-L. Is there anything that you'd like to sort of mention just before we wrap up here?
Not really. I mean, it's been wonderful. I would say maybe with channeling again, you try it out, try a session, see how that resonates with you. And, you know, I think our job is, as I said a few times, is just to be yourself, like find out your, you know, what your heart is telling you every single day and have the courage to do that every day and also have fun along the way. You know, we take life a little too seriously. We're really here to just enjoy the ride and have fun. So just think about as you go through your day and just enjoy it. Just the little things, the big thing, just have fun.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I really hope you will come back sometime to talk about business and spirit, because I think you and I could have a very good conversation about that.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review where you listen to your podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you. New episodes every Thursday.